Why is it always so different? Like, do you think the game is called different, or is it played different once the playoffs start?
Like, I think a little bit of both, and I think that despite any meetings that anybody has, it's just a different feel. And sometimes not only players and coaches, but referees get caught up in the emotion and the importance and worry. And this is human nature. I'm not criticizing anybody. Worry about their place in that moment. And will they have too much influence? It's gone on for years and years and years. It doesn't mean it's right, but it has gone on. I think we can all understand it. But I think that when you're dealing with players' careers and lives, and in the case of this hit and other hits we've seen through the years, that maybe you've got to take out the human emotion and do the right thing at times. That was a crazy moment. There's been a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a level of hockey that we're seeing in the playoffs right now. Even this Washington and Boston game, a massive hit by a former Canuck, Nick Doubt, I believe, in this game. Mm. And yesterday we saw what happened in Tampa and, of course, the Florida game. Just, the level of physicality. I know it's not, you can't probably hit this, aggressiveness and just this pace the entire playoffs, but just the early returns on the playoffs through, one game for most of these series. What are your thoughts on the type of hockey you're seeing?
Well, one side of me saying, heads up, everybody, don't kill each other and all that. By the way, where was that when Nick Doubt was in Vancouver? But also, it's understandable, the physicality. And I wonder, guys, how much this has to do. And it's always ramped up in the playoffs. But how much this has to do, at least in the case of the American cities, with fans actually being in the crowd and being really into it. Like that Florida game last night. It was a great weekend. Heck, even the Canuck game was good. I think the crowd actually had a lot to do with the emotion in that game and us realizing how much those two teams hate each other. It's been a long time coming. I like it, but of course you worry about guys getting killed out there too.
Don Taylor, Czech TV's Donnie and Dolly, Monday through Friday with Don Taylor and Rick Dollywall. So, Donnie, I mean, look, as Randeep chirps me all the time, I'm the new guy around here, it's so I need the historical background that you've got, but it's we're at a pretty low point, it feels like, in Canucks history. I mean, can you relate it to something? I mean, where are you at and how you feel this team is right now and where we're at and the historical significance of the franchise?
This is one of three dark areas for me. Dark eras for me. There's this one. The other one is the mid-80s, like right after they went, not right after, but a couple of years after they went to the Stanley Cup final for the first time, where it was, Gretzky would come to town with the Oilers. We're talking one of the great teams of all time, arguably the greatest of all time, and the place would be empty. I shouldn't say empty. 8,000-9,000 people. You could get a ticket, no problem, to see the greatest player of all time. And a lot of people passed up on that opportunity because you knew what the score was going to be. It was going to be 8-1 Edmonton. And it wasn't just Edmonton. It was the other great teams of that era, Philadelphia as well. So that was really dark. And then there was 97-98, the first year with Messier. And that was awful. That was the year that they brought in Messier. And here's the difference between that. I think it was worse than the mid-80s because the expectations were high. They bring in Messier, and all the talk before that season was they were going to contend for the Stanley Cup. They had Linden, they had Bure, they had Messier. Lume was still there. McLean, it was 3 years after they had gone to a Stanley Cup final. There was still a lot of greatness in that room, and they ended up last in the conference. Quinn got fired. Keenan came in. Linden left. It was just an absolute gong show, and really it continued for the 2 years after that when Messier was still around. So mid-80s, 97 probably to about 2000, but especially that 97-98 season and what we have now. And the similarity between what we have now and that year, 97-98 and into the rest of the late 90s, was that the expectations were pretty high. Even after losing Markstrom and Tanev and Toffoli, the expectations were still pretty high based on what they did in the bubble. So this is one of the three darkest eras that I can remember in Canuck history, and I think it's pretty obvious that that changes have to be made.
And that's what this week, you know, there's a lot of chatter going on, and we'll get into that in a second. But when we talk about the successful organizations in the NHL, generally they're stable, right? There might be a lot of noise in the market, but generally they stay on course. They don't change too much. And when they do, they make sure it's a meaningful change. With the Canucks in the last couple of years, that stability is really being put into question right now, where I think maybe 10 years ago we could have said this is one of the best organizations in the league. We're really questioning that now, aren't we?
Yeah, and stability is one word, and another word is focus. Like, what you look at Detroit and how they stockpile draft picks right now, and I think we can all agree, and I thought the Rangers were going down this path too, but look what happened in the last week or so. They have that focus of building for the future, and I'm not really sure what the focus is with the Canucks. And maybe the worst thing that happened to the Canucks was that first year with Benning, 2014-2015, when they make the playoffs. They have a season of over 100 points, and maybe, you know, that building for the future went out the door. And so there are times here over the last 7 years where you think, great, they're building for the future. Then all of a sudden they, you know, re-sign. And this is nothing against anybody, but they re-sign these veterans to these long, expensive contracts. And you go, oh, well, maybe they're going for a now team. Maybe they're trying to contend. Oh, well, hold on a second. They drafted Pettersson, so maybe they're building for the future. And he's made that. It's just been a real mishmash. I think a couple of times ago when we talked about the word scrambly, how they look scrambly on the ice, and that's the way they look in the front office as well. It's I just really, you know, really don't know what to expect from this team.
You know, a lot of the talk has been, you know, restoring consumer confidence. And, you know, if maybe ownership didn't feel that was a problem right now, maybe we wouldn't be down this road. And they would stick with the status quo, as they talked about mid-season. But we are where we are now. What do you think most fans would like to see, Donnie? Is it just a change of the GM, or does the organization have to outlay some kind of a plan that starts to show that, you know, they're back on the right track, or at least attempting to get back on the right track?
I think we're at a point now where I think changes are necessary. I don't think there's any consumer confidence right now in what's going on. Think of all the things that's happened this year, and the guy at the top, in this case, Jim, you know, has to take blame for that. But the whole Travis Green fiasco, like, what's going on? Like, when's the last time this happened with any team? I mean, help me out here. I'm not really sure. I just think there's no consumer confidence. I think they're at a stage now. We talk about this on Donnie and Dolly. At least I feel Dolly Wald is up to lunch on this, but I feel they have to spend money to make money and bring somebody in that's going to excite people, somebody with a plan, that sort of thing. I think, you know, there's got to be some changes in order to improve business. And you guys all know so many things in life can come down to dollars, and I think this is one of them. I think they have to spend money to make money to get the consumer confidence back.
Donnie, I'm with you on that. I look at the Edmonton example when Cates was kind of bringing his old buddies in, and there was something wrong in the water, as Bob Nicholson said. Eventually, they bring Nicholson in, they bring Holland in, and look at that team now. They've got a special talent, Connor McDavid, but they've made the right moves and, in a way, created a buffer between the hockey operations and the ownership group. And it feels as though maybe that's what the Canucks need. I understand finances are a reality, and do you want to pay that person? But it seems like the remedy the Canucks need right now.
Yeah, and you know, I know that the answer from a lot of people is, well, you know, they've lost revenues. They don't know what the revenues are going to be. That's all true. But I just think they're at a stage now where if they bring in Joe Slobotnik to be the GM, nobody's going to spend money to buy tickets, or nobody's going to bother watching games, and it's going to cost them money unless they get somebody that everybody can respect. And this is a little off the subject, but when you talk about somebody everybody can respect, the Aquilinis have to have respect for whoever they bring in, and let him do his job, let him focus on his job, and don't make decisions for him. Do what the Griffiths family did with Pat Quinn. You know, give him the keys to the car and away we go.
You mentioned Rick Dhaliwal. He was on the station a little bit earlier on, and he had a message for you. Roger, can you get to it, please?
Why haven't you been picking up our phone calls? We've been trying to get a hold of you.
Hey, listen, I'm dealing with Don Taylor. He's a head case. You know that. And by the way, McEwen, it should have been Dolly and Donnie. It should have been. But, you know, Taylor's got a big, fat head. He wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, yeah. I mean, that's alphabetical, yeah.
Yeah,
and Greg knows that. He knows Taylor's got a big head. He knows that.
All right, your response, Donnie.
Well, okay, first of all, I literally have a big head. I'm over 7 5/8. Last time I checked, probably more than that. Yeah, I got a big fat head. There's no question about it. But, I mean, you know, what happened was is that it was originally Dolly and Donnie, and the people that checked that, no, this will go to Rick's head. He'll be too hard to handle. So we decided to go with Donnie and Dolly. That's the real story behind it all. He's so full of it.
Love it. Donnie, always appreciate your time. We'll be watching tomorrow.
Anytime, guys. Lots of fun.